70 years ago, Israel became a nation. 70 years ago, 1948. And tomorrow is the first time that Israel will ever have a modern day Jerusalem, which has an embassy from the United States. And I guess we're the first ones that have one. I don't know, but at any rate, it's right there in the capital. And that means America loves Israel. And the reason that we love Israel is because they're in the Bible. And they have a future. They have a bright future. There's no way that you can destroy Israel. God has said, you know, all these troubles and the world is out to destroy her and push her in the sea and so on. She's still going to make it because of the Bible. And so that's why I love Israel. That's why I go. My youngest daughter, she asked me at last Thanksgiving whether we could go to Israel. And just the two of us. I don't have any idea how old she is, but she's 30-ish, late 30s or something like that. And before I get married, Dad, I want to go to Israel, and I want you to go. I said, well, I'll set up a tour, because if you get 10 people, they give you a free ticket. No, Dad, I just want you and me. Well, then I'd have to pay for everything. Good, good, she said. I said, why do you want me to pay for it? I'll pay for everything, but I could get a free ticket. No, just the two of us. And so when it was all over, then she explained to me, you know, Dad, I'm a Christian just like you, and I believe everything like you believe. We have all the same bad habits and good habits and so on and so forth. And I only wanted to spend the 9 days, not in Israel. I didn't really care about it, but I knew you liked that country to go to. So, because she had asked me one day, now if you could go anywhere in the world, that I want to stay right where I am. No, stay right where I am. Yeah, no, but if you could go and somebody, you know, took care of it, where would you like to go? And she was trying to figure out if I want to go to Israel. So I said, well, the only other country is Israel. That's kind of like home to me because I've gone so many times. And so she said, okay. Then she thought that idea, I'll ask him to go. So after she come back, she said, by the way, I didn't really want to go to Israel. I knew that that would make you happy, and I just want to be with you and just know you before I get married. So that's powerful. So it's precious. So God is good. God is good. Have four wonderful children. And David's in the back. He's the best. Is the absolute best. And then when I see the other ones, I tell them, you're the best. Don't tell the others. Don't tell the others. Because they're all the best. And so it's great. And every time it's like heaven when all the kids come and everything. It's like heaven. It's like a taste of heaven. I don't have to say a thing or do a thing. I just watch all the other ones. They're laugh together and just share all kinds of things. They're free to just do whatever they want to do. And mother is in her glory, and she doesn't want to ever go home. And so, could you just stay a little longer? You know, she likes being the queen. Best wife ever, Peggy. Amen. Best wife. I say it every day. You're the best wife. I couldn't have a better wife. A gift of God. And I say it because it's in the Bible, but I also say it because it's true. And I love her with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And I tell her, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I don't care what happens. I'll stay you through thick and thin. That's what God said to me, and that's what I say to her. Amen. So God is good. Yes. Amen. How many know people are difficult to live with? I'm just talking about people. Dogs, cats are all right. But people are difficult to live with. So, yeah, exactly. But when you have God, it makes a difference. When you have God, it makes a difference. It's totally changes everything. So I want to read you about Eve this morning. She was the first mother. I don't know if you know that, but she's your ancestor. Eve is your ancestor. And so I want to read a little Hebrew and Greek, not to show off, but just to say that these words mean a lot to me, that how God created Adam and Eve in the first place. So I'm going to start out with the first chapter of Genesis. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the creeping things that creep upon the earth." So apparently God wanted man to be his steward. Apparently man wanted God, God wanted man to be answerable to him. And so he said, let's make man, unlike all the other creation, let's make man after our image. He'll look like us, and we'll communicate with each other because we look alike. And let's make him to look like us. And then Eve was born later, but she's already in this first, this is the first mention of human beings that will be stewards over the earth. That'll be those that care like God cares. They'll be those that are kind like God is kind. Those that, don't do anything evil. They don't do anything evil. That would be God's people. And that's who I am. I'm like that. I don't have malice toward anybody. People that hate me, I recommend, you're very smart to hate me. But however, I love you. And so I don't really care what you've done because I grew up, as I said, just in a, there was no hope for me at all. There's no hope to go to college or be anything. We were dirt poor, extreme poverty. But we didn't care because it was World War II. And I was 8 years old when Israel became a nation, and it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know who they were or anyone was. You're just a little kid. But God is not through with Israel, and it's the next thing on the agenda that Israel will go through one more trouble. And this will be the worst ever in the whole history of the world, when Israel, two-thirds of them will be slaughtered. They will be absolutely slaughtered. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. So they know that. They know that now. And that's why they're fierce about protecting themselves, because they're surrounded by enemies that want to do them in. God has rearranged the world right now, where Israel has us as a friend, but I don't think it'll stop the enemy from eventually finding the range and being able to slaughter them. At any rate, the world is looking forward to that, but I want to know how man was made in the first place, so I just look in the Bible, and it says these words in the Hebrew language. It said, "Let us make man." That is actually, "And said Elohim," or "Vayi Amar Elohim, Nasha Adam," let us make man. Adam is the same thing as mankind. Let us make mankind, male and female. Betzalemnu ke demutnu. Betzalemnu means in his image, in our image. The nu at the end means our. In our image, in the image of us. And let us then make them in such a way they'll have the capacity or the power or the strength to be exactly like us. So God made us then stewards on the earth, trustees on the earth, for showing him by everything that we say and do. Everything that we say and do should manifest the love of God. Everything that we say and do, faith active in love. It should be something that we do easily and without difficulty, because the Bible says that his commandments are not burdensome. But if you try to do them, you can't. Anybody that's tried to do them with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you can't do it. Because he made the laws in which you'd try to do them and then you'd realize you can't. And that is so that he can then do it for you and then in you and then through you, and to God be the glory. So that's what God always wanted. Since you can't do it, you are dependent on him to do it for you when he died on the cross, and then in you, and then through you. So when he does it through you, you're actually loving your neighbor as yourself. So the whole idea of chair four up here is to believe on Jesus, but he leaves all the sins on you, but you can't go to heaven with sin. So he made a way. This way that he made was, I'll forgive all your sins, so then you have a new heart. And then I'll clean up your soul, in chair five, so that I'll cleanse you from everything that's sinful in you. And then chair six, you'll be actually a lover, not just a disciple or just a believer, but you'll be actually a lover without any sin in you. And when men see your good works, they'll know the Father in heaven is looking and at you, and he's also working through you, and to God be the glory. And men will glorify God when they see the miracles that we've done. So Christians ought to be perfect. And chair six is your perfection. Actually, four, five, and six is the perfect person. You have a new heart, then you have a new soul, now you get a new body. That is your strength, your ability, your power to be like him. And you could do that on earth, because if you don't, no one else will be able to see God. No one else will even want to go to heaven unless they see that what you're doing produces happiness, produces an ability to suffer anything and still give a good report that God is great. And so I didn't really want anyone to treat me nicely or whatever. I grew up that way. I didn't care. We had three families living all together, and it was just a mess. We were in a two-car garage, and so you didn't have much. And we had a well outside and a pump outside and so on. So it isn't like today that in the third world, it's like that still. They still live this way. Just daily they need water, and daily they need some bread and so on and so forth. And they still live that way. But here in America, we've been spoiled because the younger generation, they don't even know about God because we've abandoned God, even as a nation. And now I thank Trump for doing what he's doing, but I don't know whether he'll succeed in actually making us great again. He might make some jobs or something, but it's a crooked world. It's a nasty world. And you have to be able to forgive anybody. And as you've been forgiven, forgive everybody else. And so I can go in India, I can go in China, I can go in anywhere in the world and love the people, just their culture, whatever. I don't care about their cultures, but I will end up changing their cultures if I stay long enough because I believe the Bible is totally different than the way people live. And so what God wants is for us to live a holy life so that others become holy or righteous they're pleasing to God. But also not only your worship of God, but also your love to your neighbor, and so that you actually have peace with your neighbors. Well, the world isn't like that at all. It never had been like that, never, not for any time. But the angels, I remember singing, they sang a song when Jesus was born, and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth with God, and goodwill toward men. Peace, 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 when there is no peace. We haven't seen it yet. Even Jesus came and we don't see peace today. And it's not going to happen. Guaranteed it won't happen until Jesus comes back again. So that's the first time you'll see it. So what Jesus is teaching us is, I came to show you how Father and I love one another. And showing you that, then I'm going to disciple you in chair five, not only forgiving you when I'm on the cross, but I'm going to actually live in your life. The only reason I rose from the dead was so I could live inside of you. Not to go to heaven and, you know, have color TV. I'm actually wanting to live on earth through you and bless others. And so it's important today that you realize the world is still waiting for us to be Christian. It's still waiting for us to be Christian. And it's impossible unless God does it. Unless God does it. Had a brother here yesterday at the, we had a graduation party for Kim Sherrion, who's now on her way to Brazil. And anyway, he said to me, I want to be a Christian that knows God and nothing else. And I have so many distractions in my life. Please pray for me that I don't have that anymore, because I'm bound and determined to go all the way with Jesus. So that's a powerful thing. And boy, if you had a few like that, it would be powerful, where it's just, I want to obey the scriptures totally. Not just say, you know, I'm a lukewarm Christian, but to actually be fervently in love with Jesus and fervently in love with their fellow man. And you can go anywhere in the world. Everywhere that I go, people are saved. Everywhere that I go, people are healed. Everywhere that I go, miracles happen, signs. They're for outsiders. They're not for the insider. It's for the people outside the church that all those things take place. And that's when they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So what Jesus did, I'm still talking about mothers. I'm talking about Eve, the first one. You remember their firstborn son. Remember, they were twins. But the firstborn son, Cain, went out and killed his brother because they made a sacrifice, an offering to God. And God accepted one and didn't like the other one because he had pride in his heart and so on and so forth. And he was the older brother, or, you know, the one that they looked up to. But sometimes families get in problems. And so he murdered his brother. He just killed him. Rose up in the out in the field, and no one was looking, just killed him. And then God said to him, "What have you done?" He said, "Well, am I my brother's keeper? Come on, it's your job. You didn't do your job." Well, so that murderer, you would think then God would be mad at the murderer. How many know there's one of the commandments says, don't murder, you know, thou shalt not kill. Not talking about killing, he's talking about murdering. Thou shalt not. And so he should get him on the Ten Commandments thing on that. But instead, Cain said to God, "God, everyone, as soon as people start to populate the earth, they want to kill me because I murdered my brother. That's not right. I can't bear it. It's too much for me." He said, "Okay, I agree with you. I'll postpone that. I'll put a mark on you. Anyone that tries to do it, I'll guarantee you'll live." Wow. So that was amazing. If I were God, I wouldn't have done that. But God is more kind than I am. He's more generous than I am. He could have thrown the book at him and said, "The day you eat of it, you die. Now you're going to die because you did wrong." But he didn't. How many know that God is a merciful, loving Father? Never an angry judge. Never. And parents should be like that. Fathers should be like that. You should always be merciful to your children, even though they've done wrong, even though they disobeyed, even though they rebelled against you. God doesn't treat, if I were God, I would have just killed them, because I made that promise, the day you eat of it, you die. You know, I just kill him. But God didn't want to do that, because what he's created, he also owns. The minute you're conceived in the womb, with his right hand and finger, he writes upon your hand the law of God that says, do good, do not do bad. Do good, do not do bad. So now he's defined your behavior. You want to be like God? Do good, don't do bad. Well, everyone that I've ever met has violated their conscience. At some point or the other, you're going to violate your conscience because God's perfect, and none of us are. Not one of us are perfect. Well, that doesn't seem to bother God. That does not bother God. As a matter of fact, by foreknowledge, he already knows that everyone's going to mess up. No matter who you are, you're not going to go to heaven unless Jesus dies for you and then lives in you and then changes you and then perfects you and then marries you and then gives you eternal life. Unless Jesus does all that, so he's still busy. My Father worketh still and I work. I mean, he's still working to try to get all the sin out of your life. So that could take a week. It could take a week or maybe 2 weeks. So it isn't easy for us to get sin out of our life. You know why? Because you have a love of sinning. There's something in us that just says, even though he said it, I'm going to rebel. You can teach children the way to go, but there's something in people that just wants to do exactly what they want to do. And everybody is born with a choice. You remember the first thing in the garden was, you may freely eat of all the trees. Well, there's three kinds of trees. There's one, all. Then there's another one, don't. And there's another one, do. So the tree of life is the do. The tree of, then the other one that isn't a tree of life, that one was don't. But he made it very clear, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden, but don't eat of this one tree, the knowledge, the at, D-A-A-T-H. The at, this tree, don't get that kind of knowledge. Don't give yourself over to corruption. Well, everything today is, lots of things are corrupt. I'm not saying everything, but a lot of things are corrupt. So it seems, looks like there's no hope. But remember, God is always kind. Yeah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's Old Testament. But he actually never, ever shows you his wrath, because he wants everyone to make their own choice to live. And the only way you can do that is to have a relationship with Jesus. Buddha won't do it. Muhammad won't do it. Taoism won't do it. Philosophies and ideologies, they won't do it. So it's only Jesus. Now that's what we believe. Other people believe something else. But I don't want to be in their shoes, so I want to witness to them and tell them about Jesus. Because I've noticed that Muslims will come to the Lord Jesus. I've noticed that Hindus will come to the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you have the power of God, the ability to be like God, people are attracted to it. Especially if they see that you don't have two agendas. You only have one agenda, and that's to bless people, to love people. People respond to love. Did you know that? Even the Muslims who are, they hate everyone in the world except them, their own selves, and they would kill each other if we weren't here, because even they can't get along with each other. And the Shia and the Sunni and all that kind of nonsense. And so, as a matter of fact, they hate each other even now more than they hate Jewish people and Christian people. They do. They hate each other. And they're each fighting. Iran is on one side, Saudi Arabia is on the other side, but they kind of divvy up into different tribes. So that tribalism is a vicious thing where people can't stand to live next to one another. They can't take it. And so you see the world today, you can't make it without Jesus. I tried to make it, it didn't work. And I knew after a while that everything I wanted was just pleasure and so on and so forth, everything to go my way. But since I didn't have anything going for me, I didn't have anything going for me. So I finally realized, you know, everything I'm doing is not really adding up to being happy. And just getting things, that doesn't do it either. Getting smart, that doesn't do it either. And so I realized, wow, this world stinks. This world's not good. Because bad guys are always going to be there. I don't know if you've noticed that. The bad guys don't go away. They're there. Jesus now defeated the bad guys spiritually, but he hasn't defeated them yet as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's coming back soon to do that. Then there'll be no more bad guys ruling churches or families or anything. All the bad guys will be gone. They'll all end up in the lake of fire. But right now, how do you live in a world here and be happy all the time? Well, I am. I'm happy all the time because I don't have malice toward anybody. I don't wake up in the morning thinking, who am I hurt today or do in? I want to live a holy life. I want to live exactly as God wants me, and he's open to that, and he'll protect you. I'm sure that's why I'm alive. Because I go to the most God-awful places in the world that no one want to go to. But I grew up that way, though I don't really care. So it's just like, you know, how do you survive? But you know what? You get big crowds when no one wants to go there. That's called market entry. It's great. Nobody wants to be there. And so if you go to Hawaii and so on, now you don't want to go there because they have big lava flowing down on you. But anyway, you want to go to a nice place. But I gave that up long ago. I don't want to go to nice places. As a Christian, I want to go to all the bad places where they haven't heard the gospel or where they're still in witchcraft or whatever and give them hope. And so I'm willing to lay my life down physically, if necessary, or psychologically. I'm not doing my own will. I don't want to do my own will. I don't want to, even though I have a choice. I could go evil or good. I'm going good. Why? After you've eaten the evil tree, there's still hope. After you eat the evil tree, the one that he forbades, do not know tov. T-O-V is goodness to God in Hebrew. And then tov has two children. One is called Hanan, which is grace, and the other is called mercy, which is chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. So that goodness of God is the love of God at work for people. God has never done anything except to bless you over and over again. Everything you have is not something you earned. Everything you have is a gift of God. You may not believe it, but I believe it because it's in the Bible. So everything you have is God saying, even though you don't deserve it, I want you to have it anyway. How many know God even loves the unjust? As a matter of fact, he won't even save you until you've had an awareness that you didn't do right. He only saves sinners. It's the only God that will save sinners. Our God does not hate sinners. He loves sinners. I mean compassionate toward sinners. And if you're a sinful person, like two or three of you are, you know, it's good. That's good because he said, I wish you were cold. I just don't like it that you're lukewarm. You say you're a Christian, but you're not. You say you're Jewish, but you're not. You know, I don't like hypocrites. And so he spews them out of his mouth. He spews them out because he wants something that's either cold, because he can easily win cold people. The gospel is so powerful that you just say Jesus, like Larry said this morning. You just say Jesus, and it's powerful. I mean, you can sit on a bus and just say, you know, could I pray for you or whatever. People are open to hope. They're open to, you know, they have stress and they have anxiety and worries and doubts and fears and guilt. You can easily take care of it because you have the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are so open to that, and it's amazing. So it's the lukewarm that mix people up because some people think they're better than others. Not anybody here. But some people think they're better and that they can do good without Jesus. they can make themselves improved without Jesus. I tried that. It doesn't work. I tried that. I tried doing it. It didn't work. But when I did what God said, which is just believe on Him, faith active in love, that's 4, 5, and 6, then you find out everything works. And He multiplies. As soon as you do that, you praise Him all the time and worship Him and so on. There's power in that. There's power in worshiping God. And when I'm in the car or when I'm in the shower or wherever I'm singing to God all the time because I love Him. As soon as I meet people, I bless the people at the counter or wherever I am. I'm happy I see policemen. I thank them for their service and so on. I'm not saying those are good works. I'm just saying everything I want to do is to please God. That's all I'm saying. Let Him judge later whether what I did was good or not. I'm not worried about being right all this time. I'm worried about being faithful all the time. Did you see what I say? In other words, maybe a thought will come to me and say something to this person, but maybe it's not God. I don't really worry about that. That's God. He'll figure that out at the end. So I just do the best I can, knowing that God accepts me because my heart. I have a new heart, and I do everything by faith in my new heart. That's what I saw my mom doing. She could take anything secular and turn it into good. That's powerful testimony for her. She had 6 major diseases, and she overcame them all by just dancing before the Lord. I said, Mom, you need to dance before the Lord. And, well, I don't want to do that. I know you don't want to do it. Do it. Just do it. Don't think. Just do it. And she did it, and all of a sudden, all of her diseases, one after the other, I mean, they were major. He just solved them. And she became radiantly happy. So it's like, no, that's a good mom. Because most moms are hardworking and so on, but a lot of moms are not. They're depressed all the time. They're on drugs or they're on dope or on something or other. No, you should be happy all the time. How many know Jesus said, be happy all the time? First sermon he ever preached. Happy are those that are poor. I mean, no, that's a happy thing. Right, or happy are those that mourn. Well, that was a good one. Happy are those that when men speak all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, give praise to God. Well, that doesn't sound like happiness, but what Jesus was saying, reading between the lines, what Jesus was saying was, any problem you have, I'm here to solve it right now. Any problem you have, I'm here to solve it. Not Pastor Jim, you. He will solve your problems. We can pray for you here, and God answers prayers. But also, you got Jesus all by yourself. You can just ask Him, Lord, tell me what this verse means, or give me a job today, or whatever. And God wants you to be motivated to please Him at all times. So what He wrote on your heart, you have a will, you have a mind, you have emotions. I mean, know that you have all 3 of those. Those are faculties inside of yourself. But none of them will get you to heaven. I used to think, that if I think it out, maybe I'll get somewhere. Knowledge is power or something like that. But I don't think that anymore. I think unless Jesus does it, it's not going to be done. So I'm just following Jesus, Crockett. Just Jesus. That's all. I don't want anyone to think that knowledge is power. It may be in the world's eyes, but I don't buy it. I buy one thing. Knowledge of God is power. Everything else, I don't accept it. But anything that you have, He wants to kill that off because that's called your flesh. You have flesh in your will, flesh in your emotions, flesh in your thoughts. And that's what ruins the world. And Jesus wants to eliminate it so you can go to heaven. He wants you to go to heaven, not for anything you've done, it's for something that He did in you, for you, through you. So to God be the glory. So this is what moms are. You know what's neat about a mom? They're nourishers. even though my mom tried to kill me and so on. That's just because grandma wanted that, because grandma realized this girl is smart, and I, you know, she's top and all that kind of stuff. I want her to have a career and not just grow up poor like we are. Well, I ruined that because my mom was stuck, you know, with me for all those years. But I never knew about it, so it didn't bother me. I just did what I did. And I never felt sorry for myself. I didn't know that everyone else was better off. When you grow up in a poor neighborhood, you don't know what's happening in the next neighborhood. You don't know what they're doing, you know, what's going on. But the more you grew, the more you realize, hey, this world's all kinds of things going on. And I remember one day asking this to God, whom I didn't believe in. God, if you're there, I don't know if you're there or not, but I'm calling on you. I want to know the truth. What's the truth? What's right? What's wrong? I don't know the truth. I know what people say, but I don't know the truth. You know the truth. You're the truth. You say, I am the way, the truth. Give it to me. Give me the truth. And when that happened to me, I became a Christian. It set me free. So I don't know how that all worked, but I know it worked. And I'm totally in love with Jesus, 100%, to the death. Meaning, there's nothing you can do to me. I'll forgive you. I forgive you ahead of time. I don't even need to know what you're going to do. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I'm not at all worried, because if Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, good enough for me. Because I'm totally into the Bible. I'm totally 100% into the only thing he left. The only thing he left is that Bible. And it can be written in Hebrew. It can be written in Greek. It can be written in Aramaic. I don't care what it's written in. But I want to read it in the original to find out what it's saying, and I want to do it. I want to have an effect on this world before I die. I'll be 78 in a couple months, but Peggy's older than I am, by 5 days. But anyway, so we grew up almost, in a few days of each other. But I believe that God wants everybody that I meet to be blessed. And I believe that he's blessed me so I can bless others. So I don't want anything from others. I want to give. I don't want to receive. I'm not interested in receiving. I'm interested in giving. That is the secret to life. The more you give, the more multiplication takes place. The more you give, you actually cause God to multiply what you've just done just an amazingly way. That's why I've met presidents, I've met CEOs, any commodity you can think of, I probably met that CEO in some country. And one-on-one, I mean, just talking to the president, talking to the mayor or whoever. Because just God has given me that, and I have no fear. I don't have any fear. I don't apologize for where I am. And besides, I'm on Social Security, so I don't have to worry. How many know Social Security will solve all things? I don't believe in that. But anyway, that's the way it is. So I accept everything the way it is. I don't want to change it. I just want to know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you can share him with anybody and everything. And I see it in the family. And there's hundreds and hundreds of families in Dallas-Fort Worth that would be divorced today except for my ministry. And I know that. I know exactly who they are. Because I know they weren't making it, because they call me up and say, this marriage is falling apart, and before we divorce, I just thought we'd call on you, see if you can do anything. Well, I say, well, yeah, I can, but it'll probably take 10 minutes. 10 minutes? How are you going to do it 10 minutes? I thought we had to have a series of things or something. No, it just take a few minutes. All I'm going to say is the man is always at fault, the woman is always innocent. Did you hear what I just said?
Thanks for telling us that.
The man is always at fault. It's the fathers that are goofing up because they're the head of the house. They're not good heads. So you say that to a man and they realize they're not, but they don't like to admit it. It's like the, well, I don't know. And they want to because they were supposed to be the head of the house. Paul, I hope you're a good head. Amen. Your wife isn't here, so yeah. You can say it. Because God wants you to realize, as head of the house, you have to run interference for so that the wife can get all the blessing. You take all the burden, she gets all the blessing. It's in the Bible. As Christ loved the church, so every man must love his wife. Same. You owe a debt, pay it. You have worries, give it to him. You have problems, you know, burden him. Just burden him down. And so it's like I'm a garbage person, and whatever Peggy has, you know, I just put it in the back of the truck, you know. I'll just give it to Jesus, but, you know, so I just pick it up and take it to the dump. Jesus, you got any more room? Yep, I do. So I don't want Peggy to worry. I don't want Peggy to be afraid about, you know, my dying or being sick or whatever. I don't want her to worry about it. And so you can do that, and you can do it quietly on your own if you're a good husband. But every man should be speaking to the wife who, even though she sinned, you take the burden for that. You solve it. Peggy, sometimes say, well, just do it. Just, she wants me to do it. Jesus will do it. Yeah, but I want him to work through you. Just do it right here. He's too far away. Just do it right here. So it's good. I like Peggy. She's like that. I've taught her to be rough. Don't be rough on Jesus, be rough on me. Yeah. Why? Yeah, because I'm okay with it. I don't care. I don't care. Whatever you can do, I'm glad I'm alive. I'm just, thank you, I'm alive. Amen. Should be dead. I'm alive. And I'm not quitting until I'm dead. When I'm dead, I'm dead. And I'm ready to die today. But I'm ready to live today to the fullest. Right? So, amen. Right, that's powerful. My mom was like that. I like that, you know. I even tried to get her to, you know, use local honey and all that kind of stuff. But she wasn't interested in that. She wanted cookies. And so okay, well, I mean, this is a local honey, and it's raw honey, and I think it's good. Yeah, well, you eat it. I'm just going to go like this. And so I realized you can't always talk people into anything. Just serve them. Just serve people. When you serve people, even though you don't get credit for it, even though nobody knows about it, just do it because it's multiplied by God. God sees in secret what we all see on the outside. So it's a happy day for mothers. And I want every mother, any woman to be, just don't worry about a thing. God loves you unconditionally, even before you love him back. We love because he first loved us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, I'll give you everything else. Wow, he just makes so easy. So Christianity is not hard. It's not hard to do it because you don't do it. Jesus does it. Whatever Jesus does, let him bless you because he's a blessing God. Remember Abraham? He just said to him, look, you don't know me, and I know all about you, and I know the town you're living in. I'm going to show you another land. It won't look promising, but it'll be the land of promise. We'll change it. We'll change it. And so, and then I'm going to make you a nation. And before that, you'd have to have a son, and you'd have to have family, and you'd have to have tribes, and you'd have to have people, and so on. But before that, I'll make your name great. And the reason I make you great is so that you can be great to everyone else. So this is the Ten Commandments in a nutshell, is God wants to make you great so you can be great for everybody else. In other words, out of your abundance, you can give what you have to someone else that needs it. It's not just miraculous. It's that God could take 5,000 people to feed, and just with 5 loaves of bread, he can feed 5,000 people. That's just the men. And everyone is satisfied, everyone is full, and there's probably 3,000 women, or, you know, who knows how many, and kids, you know, who knows how many there are. But he fed them all. And you don't understand it unless you know that He can make bread alive. He can make it living bread, like he can make living water, like he can make anything on this earth come alive, like it'll be in heaven. Now, he can make that today, but you need to act the way God says, without thinking, without worrying about it, without just do it. Just do whatever he says. Just do it. Think later about what you did. Just do it because it's good. But he'll multiply it. And so Jesus said, well, just have the people sit down and give them all you have. Well, everyone was surprised that they got as much as they wanted. And they could I have seconds, you know, people got seconds and whatever. Everyone was full. Then after that, he picked up 12 baskets full. That's multiplication. How can he do that? That's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So he made you. The woman is on this side. The man is on this side. This is the kingly side of the man, where your sword is. And so you can draw out your sword and defend the family. The woman, however, doesn't do that. Not trying to defend the family. The woman is the one that nourishes the family. They're the ones that teach them. They're the ones that are with the kids when they're growing up and so on and so forth. And so this side here is the nourishing breast of God. He's two-breasted. This right breast is for defending against bad guys and protecting your family. It's a two-edged sword. Protects, also delivers us from any evil. This side is his nourishing side. So God has it, and this is, by the way, any civilization you study, you'll find out they all dress the way I'm just talking. The ancient world, the Sumerian world, they all dress exactly the same way I said. So God is two-breasted, meaning this breast here is my strength. This breast over here is my nourishment. Every man must have those kind of breasts. In other words, you must be able to defend your family, protect them from all evil, and on the other hand, you should be able to nourish them and love them, because the father who loves his son chastens him. He actually, the more he loves you, the more he's going to get you through troubles and difficulties. How many know troubles and difficulties are good? And troubles and difficulties mean when you get a trouble, you can't handle it. So just call on God, and you and God can handle it. Anything. You have a problem. He can handle it. So you just call out to God. God, I don't know what I'm doing. This one's overwhelming. But I want you to do it, and I'll just tag along and learn how you do it. In other words, I'm not going to do it. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. But I know you can do anything. And you do that, you're successful. You're successful. So God wants to bless now, today, the mothers, which I'm talking about, is you're the one that nourishes those kids. You teach them things. And it's so important that you have a good mother, that you have a good mother who knows, and it's just, you know, they don't even think about it. They're just more protective of their kids, meaning I don't want any bad things in this house. I don't want anything that will confuse things. I want everything to make sense. I want everything to be right. Well, the husband's job is to be a real man. A real man then is not only nourishing father, but he's also the one. And people don't have fathers these days. There's a lot of fathers that aren't fathers. They're away and so on. You can excuse all that, forgive all that. But the point is, you need to be there with your kids and spend time with them. When my kids were 12, I did that to every kid. I said, look, I'm going to take you off for 3 days now that you're 12 years old, and I'm going to teach you everything Mom and I taught you. We'll go through the scriptures. I'll teach you how to have a prayer journal. I'll teach you how to read the Bible. I'll teach you what the secrets are. And then from now on, you're going to have more freedom because you're 12. And that's called bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. And it's just what the Jewish people did. I do it too, and it works. It worked great. Because all the kids were, you know, Dad's taking me. And the other one, I want that. You know, you're not 12. And so they looked forward to that. So if it's too late for you, it doesn't matter. I don't care how late it is. Take them when they're 16, take them when they're 20. But you need to, sooner or later, love your children. Dads need to do that. Dads need to do that, not just leave it all to mom. Don't burden her. You take the burden, give her the blessing. So you can do it with grandkids. If you maybe skip the kids, maybe just go to grandkids. Grandkids also love it because they like the kids because they only have to have them a few minutes. So, you know, well, good. Let's get a little rest here because little kids will wear you out. Margaret, for example, we had Margaret when we were 40-ish. And she would, you know, when I'd come home, oh, Daddy's here, you know. And then as soon as I'd come in, she was all excited and she wanted me to get down on the ground. I said, Margaret, I'm 40. That didn't mean anything to her. Get down here. I'm down here. I'm low on the ground. Yeah, but I can get down. I can't get up. That's the problem. So, but they want you to be on their level. You know, that's what Jesus did. He got down on your level. He's exactly can represent you to God and say, God, these are the ones I'm going to marry. These are the ones that want me to be my wife forever and ever and ever. So God has it all rigged up so that you and I will be blessed forever. But don't wait till heaven. Start on earth right now. Start today. Make a decision today. You know what? I'm not going to do what's wrong. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to avoid the wrong because I'm going to do what's right. You can't do both at once. So I'm going to avoid the wrong, and I'm going to do what's right. So thank you all for coming today. It's a blessing to come and to be built up in the Word, because there isn't anything but the Word. I'm just telling you, there is nothing but the Word. All the rituals and all the stuff you do better be based on the Word. That's the whole thing. Always do what I say. The Bible, I'll close with this. The Bible is an instruction book. And you can either listen to your will, to your mind, to your emotions, or you can listen to the Word of God. The Word of God will kill your mind, your will, your emotions. Meaning, doesn't mean kill. What it means is it won't let them dominate. Your mind is okay. There's nothing wrong with your mind, but it's just got flesh in it. And there's nothing wrong with your will. It's just got flesh in it. But there's nothing wrong with your emotions. It's just got flesh in it. But God says, don't say this, my will be done. Say this, your will be done, mine not. I'm not going to do my will. I'm going to do your will. Take this with your mind. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. Take it captive. In other words, always have behind the Word, not just the Word, not just your conscience. You have to go back to the Word itself. It's more clear. It's more exact. And the emotions, always be happy. I'm going to be happy from now on. Amen. Got that? How do you do it? You don't. But Jesus will give that to you. He'll give you that sense, you know, I don't have to worry about a thing because Jesus is on my side. He'll help me to be happy from now on. Don't care what happens, what circumstances are, Jesus is for me. And I'm going to be for my family. You bless me, I'll bless them. That's powerful. That's powerful. See a good husband? That's a miracle right there.
Yes, because I'm a wretched.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Let her be just exactly what she is. You be the Christian. You be the one. You be the man. You be the real man. You make up for it. Let her be herself. That's powerful. And she's good at that. She had no problem saying what she is. Powerful. Do you understand that? You're now single. It's perfect because you need Jesus. Jesus can help you to raise your children. Jesus can help you to raise everyone. Not because you're strong, because He's strong for you. So that's what God wants. Amen? Do you help her? Because you're now the only man that's left. You're the guy. So you're going to be the boss that protects her, makes sure she's all right. Is that too much for you? No, you can do it because you're a Christian. It's powerful. Yes. We need to make new men. You're a new man in Christ. That means you're no longer you. You're now a man in Christ, or Christ is in you, because it's a love affair. Yes. And that makes the difference. When it's Jesus, you can do anything. You can do anything.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do. Yeah. All right. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Any mother here who has a testimony about being a mother? You never know.